good evening, Lakeshore Public Radio listeners. This is Jose of Midwest Beat, and Tom Lounges will be right here to give you a full Tuesday night hour of music. Yep, that's right. Don Wilson of Mellon Cougar Band. This show will promote the Saturday John Mellencamp 70th birthday celebration in Seymour, Indiana, as well as Hobart, Indiana. So tonight we're going to play a bunch of music from John Cougar Mellencamp, then get Don Wilson on the phone to talk about his experience as a cover band of Mr. Cougar, who, as you know, has a home right here in Indiana. All that on this special hour of Midwest Beat, right after your headlines.
Hey everybody, it's Tom Lounges back with another show that we like to call Midwest Beat. Tonight it's all about the Midwest. In fact, it's about Seymour, Indiana's favorite son, Mr. John Cougar Mellencamp. John Mellencamp is turning 70 years old in just a few days, and there's two big celebrations. One is in his hometown of Seymour, Indiana, which is on Friday, and then there's the one in Hobart at the Hobart Art Theater, which is Saturday. And we're celebrating John's birthday, and the one common denominator between those two shows is a guy named Don Wilson and his band, Mellon Cougar. Mellon Cougar is one of the oldest John Mellencamp tribute bands in America, and they are based in the Midwest. And Don is going to be there playing both in Seymour and in Hobart as we celebrate this American icon that is John Mellencamp. So, let's start things off by giving you the song that introduced the world to John Mellencamp. This one is I Need a Lover That Won't Drive Me Crazy. I know all you guys can relate to that.
I'm
I think all us guys can relate to that. I need a lover that won't drive me crazy. And that, of course, John Mellencamp back when he was John Cougar. And that's the song that kind of introduced the world to John. Of course, Indiana knew him. He had a few different songs and albums out by that point locally. But that was the one that Pat Benatar covered and gave him a hit. And then John's version also took off. And the rest, as they say, is history. And speaking of history, this weekend is a little piece of history, too. You see, John Mellencamp is turning 70 on October 7th. But we're kicking off the party, a week-long worth of partying, in celebrating his birthday with two big events. The Seymour Oktoberfest in John's hometown is happening on Friday, October 1st. And then on the next day, Saturday, we've got the John Cougar Mellencamp birthday tribute at the Hobart Art Theater. Now, these are both birthday celebrations. The one common denominator besides the birthday is this group called Mellon Cougar and a guy named Don Wilson. And we just happen to have Don Wilson on the phone. How you doing, Don?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Sorry I couldn't make it there in person, but thanks a lot for taking some time and putting me on the phone with you, sir.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, it's always fun when we get together. But we're going to be together this weekend a little bit, at least here in Hobart.
Yes, sir.
So I basically want to talk a little bit about Mellon Cougar, the group that you founded, and then the connection with Mellencamp and the fact that he's turning 70. I just can't believe that. That makes me feel old.
You know what's funny is that that was a funny 70-year-old man that was poking fun at, you know, the audience himself at Farm Aid this past weekend in Connecticut. This past week, where he was yelling at the crowd, "You don't know me. You don't even know me. You know some of the songs I wrote, but you don't know me."
Wow. So how's he sounding now? I haven't seen John perform in a long time, and you just saw him, as you said, at Farm Aid. So how's his set? How's his show?
I'm going to use his words, because when Jane Pauley interviewed him on Channel 2, she asked him about that, and he says, "Are you kidding me? My voice finally sounds like I wanted it to, like Louis Armstrong." That's fair. It's a different sound, and if you grew with him, if you continued to be a fan of his music, you know, it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't that high pitched voice that you played from 1978 or 79 just moments ago with "I Need a Lover." And then all of a sudden you hear him today, it's a very different sound. But when you listen to "Life, Death, and Freedom," when you listen to "Freedom's Road," you know, songs and "No Better Than This," albums like that, you can see how the voice was changing and the way that he was writing music also changed.
Right. Now, they say that he really does not like or won't play his older hits. Now, do you think that's because of the fact that he can't sing them the way the record sounded? Because John, to me, never seemed like the guy that cared to replicate a record. He was more like Bob Dylan, where he'll sing the songs and make them the way he wants them in that particular moment. So is he playing the older hits again, or is he still staying away from them?
No, at Farm Aid, he definitely played. He even did "Ain't Even Done With the Night." He did "Lonely Old Night" as well, "Small Town." He was doing songs, and it's easier because, believe me, you remember where my voice was completely shot
right
earlier this year, and I fought through it. And luckily, I got guys in the band that, you know, kind of like John's got in his band with Andy York, you know, helping out. You know, that's what was needed, you know, then. He's at Farm Aid. He did a four or five person stripped down version. He had one guy that was doing drums and also doing accordion, and he had this lady Morgan who was playing the tambourine, and she was singing. She's actually going to be on the stage production of "Small Town," which I believe is going to be doing New York. We're writing a play based on that. I forget what you call that.
Like a bio play?
Somewhat. A play based on two young people growing up, you know, like a Jack and Diane growing up in a small town. Okay. Along those lines.
Is it based on his music then? Is he writing the music for it?
Yeah, no, it's based on his music, old and some new stuff that he's writing.
Wow.
So there was Troy on accordion and somewhat drums, you know, like one snare. And then he had Andy York on guitar. And he had a guitar as well, an acoustic guitar. And then this girl, Morgan, who's going to be in the play, she was helping with vocals and playing the tambourine. It was very thinned out, which is kind of surprising for songs like Lonely Old Night, because you think of, you know, the drums really kicking on that song. But it was very accordion-driven. And when I was talking about losing your voice, that's a lot easier to sing with than, you know, if you're having troubles, you want to go stripped down. Otherwise, you know, those drums are going to play loud. Those, you know, electric guitars, they're going to sound loud, and it's going to be harder to sing over.
Now, you just added accordion to Melon Cougar recently.
Yeah, and man, I'll tell you what, when you come out and you play a song like Check It Out, it's just like, oh man, this is, I wish that I could go see my band just as a fan of John's music, which I call danceable poetry, because as soon as it comes out, it just really fills it in. Somebody who's doing the accordion and then keys, it just, it sounds so full. And then you've got Colleen who's on the fiddle. It just sounds beautiful.
Now, and she's actually been with you a while, hasn't she?
Yes, 6 years.
Okay.
So Toby Myers, who, you know, he played bass for John for like 21 years. He came into some health challenges recently, and he's not doing any more shows. But probably a decade ago, I asked him, what is the one song of John that you always felt that would be bigger than it was? And without skipping a beat, he said, Check It Out. And so anyway, he invited my wife and I to his place, and he gave me a gold record of Check It Out. And I mean, you know, to Toby Myers, it's beautiful. And then also he gave me his Scarecrow platinum record. Can you believe that?
That's incredible.
To be able to get those, to be able to wake up every morning and see those, you know, I didn't earn those. He earned those. And
right.
He said that, you know, it meant a lot to him, you know, playing in my band. And I think there were times where he enjoyed being to me what he always wanted to be to John. We played an island once, and afterwards, you know, him and I got into a big argument, and finally I snapped, and I, you know, I went back at him verbally, and he smiled at me. And later on I asked him, was that kind of stuff that you want to do to John? Yeah, he said, that was great. Okay, good.
Wow, that's wild. Now, how long did Toby play with you? Now, it's interesting because you said he spent about 20 years with John, and then you create this incredible tribute act, and here you have one of the original guys, Toby, and you've also had other members of his band that have played with you, Mo Z, for instance. But let's talk about Toby, how that came about. How did you get to be friends with him that you would bond so well that he would give you his gold record?
Yeah, I was given a call by this guy, Ryan McConnell, and he was friends with Toby. He actually coached football. He coached Hudden Speck Mellencamp. He was, you know, friends with John Mellencamp and with Toby and Mo. And he said, hey, Toby's going to give you a call. Would you be interested in playing his birthday? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And so I get a call from Toby, and he says, I hear you got a band. I said, yeah, we're playing your songs. And he said, what's your favorite song? And I said, Sweet Evening Breeze. And he goes, I don't know if I played on that. I said, yeah, you did. It was on Human Wheels. And he goes, how's it go? And I was lying in a little shed. She was visiting from Atlanta, Georgia. And he goes, oh, you got to play my birthday, man. And I'm like, all right. So we went out there. And afterwards, you know, he said, we gotta do some stuff. And we got to do some shows. And you got to bring Mo in on this. Okay. So actually at my 20th class reunion, it was actually, I remember we were going in that crescendo again of Check It Out, where it builds up and then at the end, check it out, you know, I've got to say hello to my neighbors, you know. And so I look over and there's two guys that, you know, maybe a decade before I had paid to see in concert at the Rosemont Theater.
It had to be surreal. Very surreal.
It was wild, man. And so I completely, that night, I blew off all my classmates and the three of us hung out. So it was just weird. A lot of great memories that you wouldn't expect. Can you imagine how blessed I feel that I am that here I happen to sound like, you know, one of my favorite singers, and then I get to be in a band that does those songs, and then I get to be in a band with people from, you know, that band, and then I end up being given, you know, stories and, you know, created my own memories with these guys. And, you know, certainly the gold records are pretty cool. You know, they hang on my wall. I didn't earn them.
Right.
They're John's music. There's danceable poetry. And I'm just honored that I have things like, you know, presented to Toby Myers. That's pretty awesome. And so
right.
One of the shows that we did at Toby's place, Richard Mellencamp came. And that's his dad.
John's dad.
Yes.
Okay.
He's come to a couple shows. And he says, you remind me of my son, Joe. And I said, yeah, what does he do? He's a lounge singer. I said, perfect. Know what I mean?
Wow.
So that's pretty awesome. And so I'm guessing that he'll be at our show that we do in Seymour, because he still lives in Seymour.
Okay. Joe or the dad?
The dad.
Okay.
Richard. And so we did this acoustic thing at SICA, the Southern Indiana Cultural and Arts Center, which now the executive director is Speck Mellencamp. And so me and Dennis from the band, we did an acoustic thing out there. And so his John's sister, Janet, she said, you know, I don't really like people singing my brother's music, but you're pretty good.
That's a pretty good endorsement, considering she doesn't like people singing his music.
That's an awesome endorsement. And being friends with Bobby Clark, who's a Southern Indiana legend, he's got the song that John put on his album like three albums ago now, Sad Hillbillies and Cowboys, called Grandview. And he was going to be doing a show, Bobby was, down in Grandview. And he was going to sing that song, Grandview. And so I took a road trip down there. And he pulled me up on stage, and I sang play guitar with him. And we've been friends ever since. We've done multiple shows, like, I'm going to say the name wrong, like Celestine, Indiana.
Okay.
Just some really cool moments with him as well, and in Nashville, Indiana as well. And we talk, you know.
You've been playing John's music for a long time in a lot of places across the Midwest and around the country. What's it like after, I mean, you're seasoned, after all these years of doing it, to suddenly look out and know that John's family is watching you and clearly going to be critiquing you, even if they don't intend to. How nerve-wracking is that? And how did you get over that? Obviously, you've done it a few times now.
You know, I grew up, honestly, you know, I went from homeless to homeowner in, you know, a span of 9 years, right? And I literally had nowhere to sleep. And my wife and I, you know, she was serious about us. And, you know, now we flat out own our home. And it was actually the house that it was my grandpa's house back in 80 when he died, you know, the family lost the house. And so in 2000, I knocked on the door and I said, hey, can I buy your house? And there isn't much that I'm nervous of or afraid of anymore, because, man, for 2 years, I slept on the...
Wow. That's wild. That's wild. You mentioned the song Check It Out, and I know that's a song that you play, I think, every show. I don't think you've ever not played it when I've seen you. So let's go back. That's a song that clearly has had some impact on your career and one of your favorites. So let's play that now, and we'll come back and we'll talk some more with Don Wilson about the big parties coming up.
People just
Classic John Mellencamp. Going back to, I guess you'd say that was the mid-period. Is that right, John? Don?
That was 1987 off of the Lonesome Jubilee album.
That would
midpoint be midpoint of his career.
Yeah. So that I met John the day American Fool came out. We were in his hotel suite, and I was doing an interview, and we did an article. At that point, he was quite famous here in Indiana, and I Need a Lover had already broken. But I remember him sitting down. We spent several hours, and I remember him sitting down on tape and saying, you know, the management and the record label, they're all saying this is going to be my Damn the Torpedoes album, you know, referring to Tom Petty's breakout. And he goes, I don't know if I hear it. I don't know if I hear it, but let's hope. And, of course, it was, and it went multi-platinum. And by that evening, I think he was already well on his way to being a major rock star, which is something that he is I don't think he's comfortable with, being a major rock star. I think he, like Elvis and some of the other big names, you get to that point where you're so big that it becomes more about you and the image than the song. And I think John's always been about the song. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, he even wrote a song about it, which was a lot of program directors, you know, those are the ones that, you know, especially back in the day, would pull the trigger on what songs got played or not. It was kind of a, in the video to Pop Singer, he wore somewhat clown face, pounder face, and never wanted to be no pop singer, never wanted to write no pop song.
Right.
And it was kind of a, you know, middle finger in the air to a lot of the radio stations that played him. And that was, it was hard for him to come back from that. And really that album, Big Daddy, was hard for him. You know, it wasn't, I think he did that album for him. Beautiful album.
Right.
But I think he did that album for him. And then I actually, one of the stories that I got to hear was, he gave the band, you know, he paid the band. Pretty good, right?
Right.
But he gave everybody checks for post taxes, right? And there was a difference of about $350,000 in that check. And so people were complaining about, you know, hold on, what, we want the whole check, not minus taxes. And so he just threw all the checks in the air and he took off to San Diego, said, fine, I quit then. And if you remember around the time before whenever he wanted, he said that he's giving up music.
That's right.
Because pretty much he said goodbye to the entire band, including his other high school friend, which was his lead guitarist at the time, Larry Crane.
Right.
So he still had Mike Wanchek that he went to high school with. But everyone went to where he was in San Diego and pretty much begged for their job back. And the reason Larry Crane wasn't on any more of those albums was because, you know, he had his own solo project stuff coming out. And he didn't bring back the fiddle player that was, you know, there forever.
Oh, Lisa? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she went solo. I mean, she released some solo albums. Of course, Hammond, Indiana's own Crystal Taliaferro was also with John at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Larry was a big part of the sound, along with Toby and Mike.
I believe he wrote the riff for Authority song, even.
Wow.
So he brought in, I'm trying to remember, David Grissom on lead guitar for Whenever We Wanted, and he's now down in Austin, Texas. He's actually produced some recent stuff, and he put out his own album recently. So he's staying, you know, active in the, you know, in the music industry, kind of in his own way.
Well, how long did Toby stay? What was his last album? Do you happen to know?
Yeah, he was pulled in to do, his last album was Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky.
Okay.
And then he was pulled back in for Trouble No More, because John really wanted somebody who could play a stand-up bass. Okay. And Johnny G wasn't there yet. Johnny G can now play a stand-up bass. But at the time, Toby went back in, and it was very blues-driven. I mean, it was all blues songs that he remade.
On Happy-Go-Lucky?
And stuff. No, on Trouble No More.
Oh, Trouble No More, yeah. Huh. Now, why did Toby leave? Do you know? I mean, has he shared that with you? I know he played with you for a while. I remember seeing him play with you, and he was with Roadmaster years earlier. I had seen him as a teenager at the Hammond Civic Center with Roadmaster, and that was he was mind-blowing then.
You wanted to raise this kid.
Okay.
And, you know, it was better for the family to, you know, be a dad, be a husband more than it was being a rock star. That's why.
Okay. Now, when did you actually form Mellon Cougar? Let's talk about you. You've been in radio for a long time. Of course, you're with Will Rock, 95.1, I think it is, up in the Gurnee, Wisconsin area up that way. When did you say, okay, were you a singer before you were a DJ? Were you a DJ before you were a singer? How did you wind up doing the band thing?
One of the guys that was a sales rep at the radio station was friends with Jim Peterick and has been for years. And Jim Peterick, you had him recently at one of the Tom Lounges shows.
Yeah, Jimmy and I are good buddies. Yeah.
So if you know a guy named Steve Salzman, which I think I introduced you before on Facebook.
Yes.
So we were messing around, and you know, John Perry, the program director of the radio station, said, "When you sing, you sound like John Mellencamp." And so I said, "Yeah, cool." And he said, "Let's start a band." I said, "No." And so it took him 2 years to talk me into it. And 6 months later, I was singing at the House of Blues in Chicago. Probably 8 months after that, I got a call from, you know, Toby, and that's how it all started. And then it started out as, you know, kind of a bunch of guys from the radio station. The drummer, he's the production director at the radio station. The morning guy used to be the bass player, who was replaced by Toby, so he always brags about that. And John Perry was an acoustic guy, and he's also a program director. And then there was me, who was the 7 Midnight guy, and I was a singer. And Maria, actually, she was in the band. She was the afternoon home.
Wow.
So it was just guys from the radio station and girl that were doing that. And it was fun there for a while. And then I want to do this for real. I'm going to get some real players. And that's how it happens. So now we've played, you know, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, Florida. We've done 4 shows in Florida, and then we've got 2 more coming up in February. That's pretty fun.
So what was the year you took it serious and said, okay, this is no longer a game. We're gonna get serious and get some real players. When was that?
I'd say probably, to the point where I would say probably, believe it or not, a year ago, I trusted myself that here's what we're doing. Follow me, guys. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. No. You know, because sometimes when you have keys in the band, keys can overplay, right?
Right.
It's like, it's already song. No. Do not play keys on that. That is a straight up guitar song. Stand down. For example, you know? So I would say probably a year ago, I really stepped into that role. But I always wanted it, probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, maybe. Certainly when Toby was there, it's like, man, we all got to step up. We all got to be good, you know?
Right.
I want him to have a good experience.
Well, I remember seeing Toby with you at Northwoods. That's where I first met you as far as you as a performer. And I've seen Toby play with you a number of times. And it seemed like it was a pretty serious event then. And that was way before 7 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, you've been.
There's a difference between knowing what you want and accidentally doing what you wanted.
Okay.
And that's what it was. A lot of times it was just me imitating, if you will, you know, because radio, comedy, both things in my life. And now it's more about, like, Dane Clark, the current, you know, John's current drummer. He said, man, if you were trying too hard to be like John, I wouldn't even want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're you. And we had a nice, you know, pretty cool talk about John Sebastian and the Lovin' Spoonful, and talking about how some of those records were ahead of their time. I think Summer in the City, that record stands up to today's standards as far as how crisp and clean of recording that is.
Mm-hmm. What, by now I know that with the family and some of his members and everything else, already knowing who you are, John has to know of you. And I know there's a picture of you and him together. Was that taken through radio, or was that taken through the fact that you were already doing the show in honor of him?
That was taken through radio before the band.
Okay.
And he does know about us. And last October 3rd, my oldest daughter, she got married, right?
Right.
And John sent a gift.
Really?
Yeah, pretty cool, you know, of him to do that. And he was actually going to come out to a show that we were doing May 8th 2 years ago, but then the world shut down. And,
right.
You know, that went away.
Is he going to be there this Friday in Seymour? I mean, because isn't this the unveiling of the mural? I know there's something really big involved with the mural and the Commons, and it's a big deal for Seymour this weekend.
The Commons is the is what's different. It used to be a parking lot with a really nice mural of John Mellencamp, you know, more towards the 90s and then the 70s, well, the 80s, really. So two different images of Mellencamp.
Okay.
So the Commons are brand new. What's sad about that is that Larry, who owned this old guitar shop downtown Seymour, he passed. He was a classmate of John Mellencamp. All of a sudden, he had throat cancer, and he passed away from that. And he never got to see, you know, everything come together, but it was a big part making that happen. And the last time that we played, you know, acoustically in Seymour, he was a part of that as well. He was a super nice guy.
Wow. Now, you're not only playing there tomorrow, or Friday rather, but you're also playing there. I'm looking ahead at your calendar. You're back there in July playing. You're becoming quite the regular in Seymour.
That'll be my third show in Seymour, and I don't take it lightly, because you better be good if you're going to play in John Mellencamp's hometown.
And to be invited back now a third time in July of next year, I mean, you got to be meeting the bar, so to speak.
Yeah, and hey, man, this will be the third time that we've been at the Hobart Art Theater as well.
That's true.
And that is just a beautiful scenario, and you've certainly helped that out a lot. Right next to this old record store, you know. I mixed up the guitar store with the record bin.
Right.
So it's pretty awesome. Yeah, I know one of the trustees there in Hobart.
Lino.
He's gonna be there.
Yeah. Lino will be there. He's a big fan of yours. And, of course, we're going to have a big birthday celebration. Let's play another song. And while we do that, check your Facebook message and your – I sent you some pictures about something that's going to be involved in Saturday's show. I want to get your feel on that when we get back. Let's go back to the Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, which I think is the album that introduced the world to Mosey MD. Is that correct, his first one with John?
Yes.
Okay, this is the song that you also do. We're going to do the Key West song. So let's do that, and we'll be back a final time with Don in just a minute.
Black market shoes. one wants to be lonely. No one wants to sing the blues. She puts like a parrot on his tuxedo shoulder. Christ, what's she doing then? She could be dancing with me. She stirs the ice in a glass with her elegant finger. I wanna be what she's drinking. Yeah, I just want to be. I saw you first. I'm the first one tonight. I saw you first. Don't that give me the right to move around in your heart? Everyone.
Key West, Intermezzo, I Saw You First, going back to Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, John Mellencamp, turning 70 years old on October 7th, this weekend, on the 1st and 2nd, celebrating that birthday early in Seymour, Indiana, on Friday the 1st with Mellon Cougar, and then here in Hobart, Indiana, on Saturday the 2nd with Mellon Cougar, also as our headliner on stage. And we're just going to have a wild night, as John might say. Don Wilson is our guest. And, Don, did you get a chance to look at what I sent you?
I did. Nice card, man, that people will be able to sign. And then I'll get that over to the studio right on in Belmont, you know, for John.
Right.
I dropped that off at, you know, in the studio. And a guy named Tim, he runs it.
Very cool. Yeah, we wanted to make sure John got it. We're going to have what Don and I are talking about is I had commissioned a giant birthday card. And in the past, I've done them for Ainsley Dunbar of Starship. I've done them for Mark Farner of Grand Funk and things over the decades. Some of my favorite artists. And we would always have the fans sign them at the party, and I would know the artist personally, and I would make sure they got it. In this case, what we did is we took classic photos of John. The mindset, as you're looking at it, Don, I took a latter-day shot of John now, looking over his shoulder, and he's looking back at the years of the different young Mellencamps and Cougars that are on the side of the card. And I thought it was kind of fitting. That was my thought when I was like creating that. And our friend Greg helped me actually make it a reality, and then we got it printed up. And so instead of doing airbrushing this time, we did actual photos. And the front cover has a saying. When I first interviewed John, as I mentioned earlier, it was on the day American Fool came out, and we did an article. And I wrote the headline, and John, again, had not been a huge superstar yet. So with the Indiana roots, I had put, the James Dean of rock and roll, John Mellencamp. It was like an introductory story to John. And all I ever heard back was that John really loved that headline because he was a big James Dean fan and always embodied himself as a bit of a rebel, which, of course, now we know he was and is. So I thought we'd resurrect that headline on the card. It says, you know, forever our James Dean of rock and roll. And then the fans get to open it up, and they get to sign it at the show on Saturday. And, of course, the band is going to sign it. And we're all going to make sure that you get it to take home, and then you get to take it to the studio. And like you said, make sure that John gets it and his family sees it. So our fans that are listening, I want you to make sure that you don't leave the Art Theater without signing that card, because we're going to make sure John knows who you are and that you care and that you still support his music. So just got that back today. I got to say, I was very pleased with the outcome.
Great. And I like your thought process on that, because I'm sure that he will see it the same way that you envisioned it,
mm-hmm.
as far as looking back and seeing the, you know, because you turned 70, you know, you're definitely going to start to look back at, you know, all the different, you know, stages of your own life, let alone being John Mellencamp.
Right, right. What a character.
One of the things that you hit on is Indiana roots, where John Mellencamp was, you know, huge. He was big in Indiana, but the rest of the world not yet,
mm-hmm.
when American Fool hit. So what I found is that the people in Indiana, they really embrace their artists, you know, whether it be somebody like Henry Lee Summer.
Right.
So you want to talk about a huge show. There was easily 3,000 people there, where it was us, Mellon Cougar, which, by the way, the name Mellon Cougar is not to poke fun, but it is to give, you know, it's to recognize both stages of John Mellencamp's career.
Right, right.
So it was us, and then it was Henry Lee Summer. And, I mean, you want to talk about Indiana rock? It was just absolutely awesome. It was packed, and it was so hot. And so I got off stage, and I was just pouring water over myself because it was dancing 100. And Henry Lee Summer, after that show, he just went into, you know, his van, and he just collapsed as well.
He's another guy that, you know, is huge in Indiana. He had, of course, If I Had a Girl Like You, big
hey,
hit.
Baby.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But he never broke like John did.
Right.
But yet the Indiana fans, like you said, are still devoted to him and still turn out in droves. And what are the thoughts? Obviously, you've got your own little following in your hometown area of yourself. But what is the impact? What are the responses you get? There are tribute bands to every rock star out there. Now, you can swing a dead cat and hit a tribute band. I'm sure there's a few besides Mellon Cougar out there. What is the feedback you get from the fans themselves who maybe see you for the first time that are John fans that come with a critical eye?
The same compliment that I get from people coming to see the band is the same compliment that I've gotten from Mosey.
Okay.
Man, if you close your eyes, you think it's John Mellencamp.
Can't get any better than that.
Actually, get a load of this. It just happened. So my wife came home now, and so I'm sitting in the car with her. And so when you were playing Key West Intermezzo. She goes, "Is that you?" I said, "No, it's John Mellencamp." And she didn't believe me at first.
Wow. That's great. That's so great.
Key West, February 11th and 12th, there's going to be people from Indiana, Illinois, you name it, that are going to be making the trek, you know, there.
Right. I got to see if I can get my wife Alice to join us. We had our honeymoon in Key West, and I swear when I retire, that's where I'm going. You're going to be playing Smokin' Tuna down there in Key West. And yeah. You should get a caravan going. Take the long bridge, and we'll drive out there.
Well, we're going to fly into Miami.
Okay.
Have the band, then we are going to do that. We're going to stay on Stock Island. And then, like you were saying, as far as there's a bunch of tribute bands out there, March 19th of next year, we're actually going to be doing a show down by just west of St. Louis in Belleville, Illinois. It's going to be us and a Springsteen tribute band.
Okay, that should be a good pairing.
Yeah.
The fans cross there.
And they did a song together on the new album that John's, you know, putting out.
Okay, so it's not out yet?
No.
Okay, I look forward to that. That should be fun. You guys can get your, you know, you and the singer of the Springsteen band, by the time that's done, you can get out there and do that.
Right?
Okay, let's touch. You did mention Mosley, and we did mention him before, and he came on board with John for Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. We just heard him playing. He plays keys, and he plays percussion and a variety of different things. Is he still playing with you? When we did the band in Cherryville, he came out and flew out for that show, and wow, he even rapped a bit in there, and I mean, it was really quite the show. Does he still do that with you?
He doesn't. You know, if you were to, you know, track his career, he mixed for Tupac. He got picked up by John Mellencamp, and he was supposed to maybe just mix that album, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, and then Mellencamp said, "Hey, how about you joining the band?" Which surprised him, so we ended up joining the band, and I think it was Junior Vasquez who ended up mixing that album.
I think so.
And then he went from that, he left Mellencamp, and he joined the Wallflowers, and then he, you know, he's in between stuff, and he ended up joining me, and then he ended up getting picked up by Morris Day and the Time.
Wow.
And he was recently on, probably 2 years ago now, he was on Jimmy Kimmel with Morris Day. So
he's kind of busy right now.
Yeah, and you look at it this way. I'm just a stupid, you know, cover band guy, and it's more meaningful than that. You know, there's connections with Toby, who played bass with Mellencamp and also played bass with Mark Cohn on a song.
Wow.
And which I really like Mark Cohn as well.
Right.
And then I'm in the same timeline, if you will,
mm-hmm.
with Jacob Dylan, John Mellencamp, Morris Day.
Wow. Oh, I hear some music coming up. Don, that means it's time to go. You're a radio guy.
Yep.
Jose's giving me the word. Keep up with Mellon Cougar at melloncougarband.com. Go see him in Seymour, Indiana this Friday, and come to the Hobart Art Theater with Getty Trezak Band, and make sure you sign that card. Don, it's a pleasure always, and I'm looking forward to having some fun with you this weekend.
Looking forward to it, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Be ready to eat cake. We got a cake coming, too, on Saturday.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Pop Singer himself, John Mellencamp. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. This show will be repeated on Friday at 2 o'clock. I'm out of here. Stay safe. Adios. See you Saturday.